The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, changes to a law which prohibited the identification of child victims in homicide cases take effect from today. On the back of a Court of Appeal ruling last year, grieving parents were effectively silenced from speaking publicly about their child in cases where their son or daughter had been taken from them by an act of violence and where someone ended up in court for it. But where there's a political will, there's always a way. And the changes take effect today, thanks largely to the efforts of Fianna Fáil TD Jim O'Callaghan, Senator Michael McDougall and the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee.
What we're seeking to do is to amend Section 252. I think it's important that we get this right, however, because one thing that is for sure is that this piece of legislation is going to end up before a judge of the District Court, the Circuit Court, the High Court, or indeed another appellate court in the very near future. So it's absolutely crucial we get it right.
Obviously, it's a huge injustice to the parents of a child who was killed in a homicide. It's a major reduction of the rights of apparent free speech and the rights of parents to tell their story in public and to express their huge tragic loss in many cases and their feelings about what has happened to their child, that the law should have this clearly unintended effect.
The profoundly negative impact the ruling is having on grieving parents who are unable to remember their deceased children's names or legacies in public is very clear to me. I'm sure members across both of the Houses are as determined as I am to enact and to amend this legislation to ensure that parents, most importantly, can speak publicly in the media to honour the memory of their child in such tragic circumstances. I know there have been a number of families affected by the Court of Appeal ruling, and I hope that we can work together in a fast and speedy way to bring this legislation to a successful conclusion.
One of the people who was affected directly by that ruling joins us now, Kathleen Chadha, who was effectively gagged from talking publicly about her two boys who were murdered by their father in 2013. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us. Firstly, it's great to be able to talk to you and to be able to talk about your boys again publicly. I'm sure that must be a great comfort to you. You obviously had an opportunity to talk about the boys after their father was sentenced. And I know it's not for everybody, but how important was it for you to have that platform afterwards to speak publicly about them?
It was very important, actually, for me. I suppose there were kind of two points or two parts to it. One of it was I needed to show the world Owen and Rory and the way that they should be remembered, not what I suppose was said in the court case, not as murdered children, not remembered for the injuries that they sustained. I needed and wanted people to know my boys as themselves. And secondly, it was important to me to be able to say, I'm normal. This happens in ordinary, normal families. Now, and that's not to scare people, I suppose. You don't want to be running off thinking that, you know, anybody is capable. But you know, we were the most ordinary of families. So, you know, this does happen.
Kathleen, you know, I spend my day today is down in the courts, and yeah. I know there are lots of people who find themselves tragically in similar circumstances as you have, you know, who don't want to speak out afterwards. Yeah. But there are lots who do. You know, there's never a situation where my colleagues and I are chasing people down the street. Yeah. If people want that platform, we're more than happy to give it to them, because you know, it's such a confined space, a sentence yeah. hearing, where you it's so two-dimensional, as I'm sure you understand. Yeah. People only yeah. get one picture, really. So it's really yeah. important for you to be able to come out and tell the world that Owen and Rory were more than just murder victims.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had that opportunity, and I have been given the opportunity to talk publicly about Owen and Rory, you know, over the last six and a half years since the trial ended. So, you know, and I suppose I, in the circumstances, class myself as lucky in that. And absolutely, there are families out there that don't want to speak out, that want to remain private, and that's perfectly their right, absolutely. But it's equally, I suppose, my right to be able to stand up publicly and talk about my sons. Mm-hmm. I couldn't took, I couldn't even, you know, my name couldn't be used if at all, because using my name potentially would identify the boys.
And also Sanjeev couldn't be identified, you know. Yeah. And did that even enter your process at all? And I know we're talking about different times, but take, for example, if this sentence hearing had happened in the last 6 months, we wouldn't be able to identify you. We wouldn't be able to identify Owen and Rory. But what about not being able to identify Sanjeev? Clearly, we would have been prohibited from doing so. How would you have felt about that?
Angry. In a word, because that's, you know, to me, I suppose at this point, there's a part of me that has to kind of, you know, park or box him away on some level. But, you know, it isn't, I do believe that perpetrators should be named. I don't feel that there is any, particularly those found guilty. I mean, you know, why should they be protected? Which is basically what would be happening in that case. And the reality in this country is life does not mean life, which means that I know within the next 12 years, potentially 14 years, he is likely to be considered for parole. He'll have had a number of hearings before then, but, you know, so he will potentially be allowed out. And the same with so many perpetrators. And quite often they end up back in, you know, close to the victim's families potentially. And that's just so wrong. You know, we need a system here in this country that is victim-centric, that is actually looking after the needs of the victims, not the perpetrator.
Can I ask, you know, how difficult have the past few months for you been since that Court of Appeal ruling, you know, not being able to speak publicly about your boys? I know you said you had the opportunity, but to be essentially be gagged over the past 6 months, how did that make you feel?
Frustrated, very frustrated. I suppose I would have engaged with Jim O'Callaghan very early on, and in fairness to him, he was very, very supportive, as was the Minister and Senator McDowell. But, you know, so I was, I suppose, assured within the first couple of days of the Court of Appeal ruling that this would be amended. I knew that there was cross-party support for this, so it was a matter of going through the process. I wasn't worried that it wouldn't happen. So there was a reassurance in that for me. But I'm a number of years down the line. I have got the contacts, if you like, the people that I can talk to go to for that reassurance. There are families out there that haven't had that opportunity. Mm. And in fairness, there's one family out there at the moment, one mother, who hasn't been able to be as public today, tomorrow, over the weekend. It's going back to court in order for her to be given the
opportunity. And I know precisely who you're talking about, because
I'm not naming. But
no, and we won't. And this is a lady whose son was murdered back in 2019.
Yeah.
Her son's killer was sentenced in February, and she stepped outside court. She gave a victim impact statement herself. She's an incredible woman. And I know she's listening to this piece this evening, Kathleen, and we can't identify her because there's a court order that's still in place that has to be lifted. It won't be done until it comes before the court next week. And she found that whole process very difficult when she realised only a week before the sentence hearing that this prohibition existed. She wanted to tell the world about her boy, and she couldn't do that.
What
do you have to say to her now? I was speaking to her earlier today after the case was adjourned, and, you know, she's gutted. But what would you have to say to her over the weekend as she waits for her moment to take a step on that platform?
That moment will come. You know, we should never underestimate how devastating something like this is, because it is. But her moment will come, and she will get the opportunity to show the world her beautiful boy, because you're absolutely right. She is an incredible woman. But one of the things that she said to me, because she sought me out a little over a year ago, and she did that because I had been vocal in the media, because I was, you know, I was out there. She knew she could seek me out. I did something similar myself not long after losing the boys, where I thought I had another mother who had gone through something similar. And we underestimate the power, if you like, of the media and what good that can come from that. Because sometimes you need to speak to somebody who just gets it. It's not about professional help. It's not about family, friends, support. All of that is there. Absolutely, it's there and it's crucial. But you just need somebody who gets it. And there's not many of us out there, thankfully.
Yeah.
But there are a significant number enough that, you know, we need to be to be aware of that. So, you know, when we talked, and I've spoken with her over those last couple of days and prior to this, and, you know, it's I can see some of what I've gone through in her and what she's going through now. And unfortunately, we each have to make this journey ourselves. We can't.
She's a very, very positive woman, and she still very much feels her son's presence guiding her through, helping her, giving her strength for moments like in court when she was faced, you know, with that daunting task of getting into the witness box to deliver a victim impact statement. She told me she didn't even feel nervous delivering it because she felt so confident that her boy was still with her. But she said that it's very therapeutic for her to be able to talk about him, you know, and it was so hurtful and it set her back somewhat to not be able to do that. She said she was conscious of putting things up on Facebook, for example, in case she was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Like, what a horrible experience for her to go through, given the ordeal that she's already gone through.
And that's it. And that's where, you know, there is a re-traumatization that happens with that. And again, there's such a build-up that comes before the court case. So you build yourself up. You dig deep to find that strength. You go, you know, externally for it, and you look to your loved ones to get you through that. And you come through it, and you go, and it's bang, and suddenly, what now? What next? What now? And, you know, it takes a long time to get yourself to the point where you can see what's next, and, you know, the next day, and you take it hour by hour, day by day, but to have the added insult, because that's what it is, of not being able to publicly name your child as should be your right, to be gagged for no good reason, I suppose. I don't know what the reason was. I don't know what was behind it when the piece of legislation was used initially, but the knock-on effect of how it was used, or in my view, misinterpreted, or it was a loophole, is huge.
Well,
and it is devastating.
And today is a good day. And Kathleen, you should be very proud of all the work that you've done behind the scenes, you know, campaigning with the likes of Jim O'Callaghan and Michael McDougall, who also deserve great credit for getting this through the House of the Oireachtas so quickly. And of course, one of the last things the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, did before she went on her maternity leave was to sign the commencement order that gave it legal effect from today. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to hear your voice again. It's great to hear you talking about the boys. And I know the woman that we have spoken about doesn't have her voice, or may feel like she still doesn't have her voice, but we'll hopefully hear it loud and clear next week. And Kathleen Chadha, thank you so much. Have a lovely evening. Have a lovely weekend.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.